from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, and you can find it on page 1031 of the Church Bibles. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. We often try and meet halfway to the country, and we decided that we would try a garden centre because we were hoping it was going to be not as busy as some other places. The cafe was the busiest place, put it that way. So we got our drinks and we sat down at the only available table, and we were chatting, catching up, and this elderly lady came over to me. She's about 87. She told me she was 87, she told me. She was 87. I wonder what point you get frail. Anyway, never mind. Okay, so, quite frail. And she said, "Would you mind if I sit here?" Because we were the closest to where all the things were being served. And her 93-year-old husband, we also found out how he came and sat with her. And Rhoda and myself, we were just chatting away, and I could overhear them talking, and they were remembering the fact that they'd forgotten their knife, their spoons and everything. So of course, like a good person that I am, I said, "Would you like me to go and fetch them for you?" Well, that broke the ice. For the next 15 minutes, I think it was, we were involved in this conversation. I didn't get her name actually, which is terrible of me, but they were about the state of our country at the moment. They felt the time had gone so quick because there's just all this tension around. I don't know about you, but I turn on the television with quite trepidation when it comes to the news. I think I'm a grown-up, I'm supposed to watch it. Well, actually, do I really want to hear any more lies or any more rhetoric? Do I want to hear any more about the election? No, actually, I don't, but I do because I'm a grown-up and I'm supposed to. But over this conversation I was having with this lovely, lovely lady, you could hear this longing for things to be different. This real longing for it not to be like this. And obviously there was the nostalgia of how it was better than the war. Well, it wasn't better, but we were together in it, she said. But now that's no longer the case. We often don't talk about physical stuff in church, do we? You know, it's kind of goes with religion. But I don't think church should exist in a bubble. I don't know about you, but I think that we should talk about what's going on around us. Because let's face it, we have a responsibility to speak into it. So we're going to be talking about peace. We're going to be talking about shalom, actually. Peace is founded on righteousness and justice. And Christians are called to share in Christ's work restoring wholeness. The Christian vision in this respect is far-reaching, challenging. It
It's about harmony between people. Harmony between people and God. Harmony between humans and the whole created order. It's not just a peace line, kind of hippie thing. But shalom. There is this thing I found that a rabbi, Robert Kahn from Houston, said. The difference between peace and shalom, the Roman peace and shalom. One can dictate a peace, whereas shalom is with mutual agreement. Peace is a temporary pact. Shalom is a permanent agreement. One can make a peace treaty, but shalom is the condition of peace. Peace can actually be negative. It's like the absence of commotion. Whereas shalom is positive, the presence of serenity. Peace can be partial. Shalom is whole. Peace can be piecemeal. Shalom is complete. So when you read peace in the Bible, you need to check out what peace they're talking about. Are they talking about this Roman peace, this absence of conflict, or are they talking about shalom? It's always good to check your translations, because sometimes it misses the depth of the meaning. So, we heard Mary read out about the prophecy that foretold of Jesus' birth, which included peace. Isaiah 9:6-7, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah? So a picture of shalom is of the creation being in harmony, reconciled with each other. Can we have the next slide, please, Jenny? The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Is creation at peace at the moment? Is there shalom in our creation? Isn't really, is there? No. If anything, the creation is groaning. There's birth pains that it talks about in Romans 8. Species all around us are going extinct. The Worldwide Wildlife Fund says at least 10,000. You just need to turn on the news to hear of the climate chaos around us. Forest fires in California and Australia. Did you hear about the fact that it's approaching Sydney? It's bigger than Sydney. I've been to Sydney. And it's quite scary, really. And there's always been fires, but it's getting worse. The Victoria Falls in Africa have slowed down. We're not living in shalom. Well, I would challenge you today that we need to be part of the solution. Our exploitation of creation has caused this cataclysmic, I knew I was going to get that wrong, climate change. And it doesn't just affect the wildlife, does it? It affects the people. And which people does it affect the most? Actually, those who are already living in poverty. So I want to challenge you to think about and pray about how can we restore the shalom in our creation. We're going to pray a prayer together that I got from the I don't know if you've heard of Extinction Rebellion. You've watched the news, you should have heard of them. But they are this movement which is just growing up of young people, actually, mainly, but of all generations, who are shouting out that this is wrong, and that we need to be looking towards reversing the effects of climate change. So, found a prayer from the Christian arm of Extinction Rebellion, which I thought we could say together. So, it's going to come up on the slides. I just want to take a moment. Let's just pause and think about our role in the structure of God's creation. I'll say the words in light and you could respond in the light. Father God, we lament the destruction that has been done, that we have permitted to be done, by our silence and inaction, and by our direct action to the earth, to your creation. Forgive us, O God. Help us to be aware, become aware of the needs of humanity, of the needs of generations to come. We acknowledge that we have a chance to choose peace over profit, to choose activity over complacency. Stir in us a new compassion, a new willingness to change, a new excitement to foster community, a new faith in the abundance of your kingdom, a new zeal for establishing the peace and justice of God, a new desire to set the earth to rights, a new understanding of connectedness of all things, a new appreciation. It's not just about the environment, is it? It's also about community. The absence of shalom is a community that lacks harmony, a social disorder, economic inequality, political oppression and exclusivism. I got my words out today. We don't have to go very far, though, to see this unfolding around us, do we? Hate crime is increasing on the line of race, sexuality, and diversity, and I'm sad to say, disability. Division is present in our nation. Poverty is increasing. I don't know if any of you watched the Channel 4 dispatches on Monday, Growing Up Poor. It broke my heart. These children were talking about being hungry. You know, it got to me. These children are suffering and they're in need of basics of food. And the prophet spoke boldly against such inequality. In Isaiah 1:16-17. Wash and make yourselves clean, take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. We prayed, didn't we, for those who have been excluded. Thank you, Rob. That was just really good. I was thinking, oh, you've got to talk to us. But I just think we need to be aware of the poverty around us and the things that we can do. You know, the food bank, the homeless shelter, the community church are amazing things. Are they enough? Probably not. Well, we can do what we can do, but we can also pray, I think. Pray about these divisions in our society. Ask God to show us what we can do to bring shalom. Because we need to learn to defend the oppressed, give the disenfranchised dignity and power. Shalom leads to justice and righteousness. Isaiah 32:16-17 says this. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, his righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. And Jesus showed us, didn't he, how to live in shalom. He was there, wasn't he? He was about establishing a community between the excluded and the excluded. You look at his disciples, they came from such a variety of backgrounds. And he starts with his manifesto, which we're going to, from Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Because Jesus' acts of healing, forgiveness, feeding the hungry, and eating with sinners was to show God's will for shalom. He was always saying, wasn't he, the kingdom of God is near. What did that look like? That's what it looked like, didn't it? Healing those divisions. providing for those on the edge. If today you need healing, and I'm sure that there is a few of you around who are not feeling very well today, for whatever reason, we have prayer after the service in the corridor, or you can come in and see me or Melvin, and we would happily pray for God's healing to be on you. In Shalom, the sense of well-being is experienced by the person who lives a caring, sharing, and joyous life. Is that you? Do you live a caring, sharing, joyous life? Or have we allowed a self-seekingness to descend in our hearts, pursuing our own selfish security and coveting those who have more than us? I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told in Luke 12, verse 15, when he was talking to people, he was saying, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." And then he goes on to tell the story of a rich man who decided to build more storehouses to contain his riches. And when God said to him at night, "You fool, because tonight your life will be taken." So, maybe we need to start seeking more risk. Not seeking after our own security first, but looking out, caring for others, sharing with others. I hope, like you, like me, you long for this Shalom, this kingdom of God. Because if we don't long for it, what are we doing? You know, we don't long for this deep peace. But my warning is that Shalom isn't found easily. There's no shortcuts. There are certainly no gimmicks. And we certainly can't control it. Instead, it is through costly living and caring, loving our neighbours as ourselves, of allowing God's Spirit to work in our hearts, so that He will open our eyes up to those. That He will break our hearts with the things that break His. That we'll be willing to step out of our comfort zones and live in a more inclusive way, including the very people who we struggle with, those that we prefer to exclude, those who disagree with us. It's really different, isn't it, to the narrative that's going on in our society at the moment. But, as Paul says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." Jesus is our Shalom, and it's only through Him that we can live out this way of peace. He draws us all to Him. Empowers us to seek Shalom, even in these times when it seems hard to find. It's the now and not yet of the kingdom. I don't know if you know, but part of Advent is looking forward in anticipation for when Jesus will return and when Shalom will reign free, that there will be harmony restored on earth. In the meantime, I will leave you with Jesus' blessing at the end of John's Gospel. "Shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful." Amen.
Spoken to them about believing and believing what to believe, really believing.